In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Please be seated. I only have eyes for you. That's the name of a song that was written in 1934, but instead of the song dying in 1935, it's been recorded over and over again by many artists, old and new. Our Lord has his own version of this song written many years before it ever became famous as in the world of pop, his own version with a slightly different title. Our Lord titled his song, "You Are Precious in My Eyes." It shows up in verse 4 of our text from Isaiah chapter 43 tonight. Now, of course, we all know that we are valuable, we're precious in God's eyes, all of us together as a part of his body, the church. We know that. You know that. But there are times you really start to wonder about that, too. You start to wonder when things go in your life from good to bad. You start to wonder when you've tried so hard and nothing goes right. You start to wonder when instead of things getting better, they get worse. It causes you to suspect something different when your prayers all receive the same, what might be interpreted as a negative response. Although our Lord always answers our prayers by giving us his Holy Spirit. You start to wonder when the valley of the shadow of death starts to cast its darkness over you. When those times come, we know that we're all valuable in God's eyes, generally speaking, but we're not quite sure it's true specifically for me. That's for sure how Israel felt, exiled far from home in Babylon. Instead of being precious in anyone's eyes, Israel found themselves to be nothing but state slaves and prisoners, cogs in Babylon's ever-growing world empire. The song Babylon sang to Israel was this: "You are nothing in my eyes, nothing at all." As Babylon's military might exiled the elite of countless conquered nations, Israel being but one of them. Israel was deserving of this fate. Certainly they were God's people, the apple of his eye, his joy and his delight, but they lived as if that didn't matter, and as if they mattered most. For all intents and purposes, God meant little to nothing to them. God's prophets meant nothing to them. God's word meant nothing to them. Even after the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem, Israel didn't get it. Even while Jerusalem burned and their temple and their treasuries were plundered, still they didn't understand. That's being curved in on oneself, and that's called sin. And because the wages of sin is death in the Old Testament and in the New, Israel got what was coming to them. God gave them over to receive their wages in Babylon. And yet, in the span of a few short years, this same Israel, who had lived as if God did not matter and as if they mattered most, makes a shift, and they become God's faithful witness. An incredible change takes place. And you wonder why. How can this be? Is it that Israel got religion in Babylon? Did God summon them to a come to Jesus meeting there? Did Israel do something to increase their value in God's eyes? There's no evidence of any of that. Israel doesn't do anything to deserve God's grace while they're in Babylon. In fact, what happens is what always happens. Our Lord seeks the lost. God's always faithful to his promises. The empire is never going to get the last word. And so, once again, God sings his song to Israel, "You are precious in my sight." In the eyes of the Babylons of today, and you are living in a Babylon of today even right now, to the Babylons of today, you don't look very precious. To the Babylons of today, you are nothing. A soul to enslave, to tax, and to throw away as nothing but cheap dirt after you're spent. You'd think in that condition that God's song would become precious in our ears. But as if God's opinion doesn't matter, and as if being precious and valuable in the eyes of the world matters most, somehow we tend to believe Babylon. Time after time, we ignore God's song, and enslaved by the world, we strive to live as if we can make the world change its tune about us. We strive to be precious and valuable in its sight. And addicted to how the world sees us, we languish in its chains. Like old Israel, we're dying to be something. We're longing to be precious. We ache to be valued, but we're dying just the same. And as we die, the world sings to us Babylon's song, "You are nothing in my eyes." And deep down, we know it. Though Babylon may mean everything to us, we mean nothing to it. When Israel found herself in Babylon, she read Isaiah's words, and his words held the mirror of God's law before her eyes. He showed Israel her sin, her turned in upon herselfness. He pointed out her empty worship, her simply going through the motions. He revealed her sinful selfishness and how she idolized everything but what truly should be praised. And as captives in Babylon, they finally came to know it. They came to see that though they were dying to be something, they were dying just the same. And then, from out of the blue, Isaiah sings God's song to them once again, "But you are precious in my eyes." And once again, God brings his firstborn home. Sometimes things are of more value if they are owned by something, by someone special. Houses, for instance, in Hollywood or other places for that matter, go for more if they are owned by some star or someone famous. Well, hear the words of the Lord about you. "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and whom I know." God has created and claimed. He has formed and fashioned you. You are his son. You are his daughter. But we know who the world is. We see how the World Academy awards those who are precious in its sight. So just who is this God anyway, and does it really matter? Well, Isaiah tells us, this God who sings you personally, you specifically, "You are precious in my eyes." This God has called every star by name. Not just the billions of stars in our galaxy, but in all the galaxies of the universe. This God calls each of them by name. And it is this God who says to you, "I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." But there's more. This is the God who has promised to never desert you. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." The Babylons of this world will desert you, and truth be told, they were never really for you. but through all manner of danger, water and fire, and even the grave, nothing in all of creation can separate you from God's amazing love. And there's more. You are precious in His sight, not because of anything in you, but because in the waters of your baptismal flood, Jesus Christed you. He christened you. He put His name on you. There God claimed you as His own. And on a hill called Calvary, He paid for you with His Son. And that means God has more than just eyes for you. He has hands and feet for you nailed to the cross. He has a head for you crowned with thorns. He has a side for you thrust through with a spear. He has a heart for you. For just as the Father loves the Son, so Jesus said, so I have loved you. This God has ears for you. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And this God has given His body and blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. All of that is true. And you can be assured whatever He says is true as well. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what you have done, in spite of how Babylon sees you, whether you are north or south or east or west, you are precious in His eyes, your Lord and your Redeemer, and He will gather you to Himself. In fact, He already has, because His Son is precious in His sight, and His Son has died for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.